This is Bryce Gunner, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio 89.9 KTSW.
Thank you very much, Bryce Gunner. I'm your host, Devin. I'm up here in the studio with my man, Ryan Marcus. This is Bobcat Radio right here on KTSW, the other side of radio. If you have a problem with what we're saying, or if you have some interesting sports knowledge you want to share with us, give us a call, 512-245-FIRE. That's 512-245-FIRE. And we'll share your opinions of what's going on. As we said it at the beginning of the show, and we'll say it again, Coach Karen Chisholm has become only the 13th coach in NCAA Division I's women's volleyball to win 800 games. She did it against the Trojans of Troy. And then, of course, Georgia State, she got win 899. So my man, Ryan Marcus, are we talking first, Georgia State or Troy?
Well, my brain tells me the logical progression is to go in order from Georgia State to Troy. It's also worth noting that Texas State lost their first meeting with Georgia State earlier in the season, so I think that's probably a good place to start.
Let's start right there, as they were trying to avenge that 3-1 loss earlier in the season. Of course, Georgia State, I called that game, were coming in with a record of 9-16 overall and just 7-10 in conference. And then the Bobcats started off rocky. They dropped the second set. The first set was, they had a win by two, and they went up to 29. But some big key players stepped up, and in particular, Alex Sims. You look there right on the score sheet, 13 kills. That's nothing to be too impressed about. But she led the way along with the freshman Jordan Cole, the left-handed hitter who hits from the right side of the floor, is a phenom. And she really helped weather the storm of this Panthers attack.
And you look at Jordan Cole, like I was talking about earlier with Coach Chisholm and her 800th win. Her and Lauren Kirch have really solidified their place in the starting lineup on this volleyball team. Kayla Mahoney's working her way back into the lineup, getting some assists there. But Alexandra Sims and Jordan Cole held it down. Lauren Kirch, 10 kills, not too shabby herself. But this volleyball team really needed to come back, bounce back and win this game, especially after losing to this opponent who most would call inferior last time. And they need that momentum heading into the Sun Belt Conference tournament, which, like you said, Evan, is just a few games away.
Two games remaining against Appalachian State and Georgia Southern, both of whom we've beaten in three straight sets previously in the season. And then how about Texas State? 5-1 in their last six games. So Coach Chisholm, a good job of getting your 800th career victory, and then, 799, I should say, and then we move to Saturday night, the night everyone wants to talk about, against Troy, right here in Strahan Coliseum. If you weren't there, you should have been, because it was a historic night, as Coach Chisholm gathered her 800th career victory, and she did it in three straight sets in a handedly fashion over the Trojans of Troy.
And Coach Chisholm just keeps her team ready. Every time I talk to her after a game, she doesn't really like to linger on it. She just says, on to the next one, whether that's a win or a loss. And they had a tough loss the other week. I called the game against UALR. But she just gets her team ready. She knows what she needs to do. They're going back into the Sun Belt Conference with a target on their back, having won last year. And she's going to get her freshman, in particular, that I keep harping on, ready to play in the Sun Belt Conference tournament and come away with a victory again, hopefully.
Who's a bigger freshman for it, Jordan Cole or Lauren Kirch?
It is tough. I have to say Kirch, Jordan Cole has been pretty good these last couple games, but you look at throughout the season.
Kirch has been in since day one.
Exactly. And I think that's a good thing that you see Cole stepping up, because that means both of them are going to come to play come Sun Belt Conference tournament.
You're listening to Bobcat Radio on 89.9 KTSW.
Thanks, David Mayo.
Yeah, we had to get a David Mayo line in there before you know it. But Jordan Cole, the cool thing with her was I called the games in the beginning of the season. Now I'm calling her now. The amount of playing time she's receiving is copious compared to what she was getting back in August. So that just speaks to her volume. And
I think the best part about that, though, is they've worked Kaylin Mahoney back into the lineup, and they still find a place for Cole.
Kaylin Mahoney is a force to be reckoned with, especially here come Sun Belt Conference tournament time. I know we're glad to have her back, and I know she's glad to be healthy. Appalachian State on Thursday, that'll be right here on 89.9. We're going to play them at Appalachian State, and that will be the second-to-last game. That'll be up in Boone, North Carolina. And then how about Georgia Southern right here at Statesboro, Georgia? The Bobcats get on the road if you're looking for a little action, and let's see if the Bobcats can't finish the season on a four-game win streak. Heading into the tournament, the Bobcats are currently 19-11, 14-4 in the Sun Belt Conference. Remaining two games, what you got, Ryan Marcus? 2-0? Why not?
Yes, I think they're going 2-0. They've been playing so good this season, and they have no reason not to go 2-0. They swept these teams both time they played, and I really think that's going to just be the trend going into the tournament.
Don't look now, but Coach Antoine and the running Bobcats are out for their season to begin, as they started at 1-0 against Texas A&M International this Saturday. They beat them 83-65, and Coach Antoine's looking to rebound from a rough year in the previous one, as the Bobcats finished 500 in the regular season. However, they were 7 games over 500 in the Sun Belt Conference. Bobcats starting off 1-0. Jacqueline Jeffcoat, 14 rebounds, 16 points. And then Aaron Peoples, the big junior, 16 points, 10 rebounds. Where do you want to start?
Jeffcoat, she was my name drop. She's another year on the team, another year in the Sun Belt Conference. I think Coach Antoine is going to be able to get her team around. And Jacqueline Jeffcoat's just a monster on the boards. And I think the point that I like to see her step up was the points this year. Last year, she was always getting a lot of rebounds, usually double digits or close to it, but now she can get a double-double every single game, or at least average a double-double every single game. I think the Bobcats are going to have a great season.
You're looking at that schedule right here this Tuesday at approximately 7 p.m. The Texas State Bobcats women's basketball team is going to head out to Lubbock and take on the Texas Tech Red Raiders right here on Fox Sports. That game will be broadcast live, as the Texas State Bobcats are going to take on Texas Tech. We'll have that game right here on 89.9, but a terrific chance for the ladies to showcase their talent on national television.
It definitely is a great showcase. Playing any power conference opponent is a really good gauge, even if you don't come away victorious, which I feel like the Bobcats can do. It gives them a good gauge to know where they are, especially early in the season, and kind of know what they need to work on before the Sun Belt Conference play comes around.
The Bobcats lost some big pieces last year, and one of them being Ashley Eze, the big center who was averaging 15 to 16 points a game for the Bobcats. Who's going to replace her, and what does the future hold for this Texas State team?
I definitely think it's a little better than 500. Like they were last year. I definitely think that they can make it back to the Sun Belt Conference tournament, possibly go even further into that championship game. But like I said, I'm looking at Jacqueline Jeffcoat really to step up. And the tall freshman, she was a freshman last year, blonde-haired girl. I can't remember her name right now.
Caitlin Walla?
Yes, Caitlin Walla.
She's going to be terrific. She is going to be an absolute phenom to mess with. Ariel Anderson is going to be another point guard who is going to lead the Sun Belt and take them by storm, especially with her size and speed.
That's a bold prediction there, Evan.
Look for her to drive to the lane at will, because she puts these defenses in a coma when she's driving to the lane. She's only about 5'2", but the girl last year averaged like 15, 16 points a game.
Yeah, she was pretty good last year, and again, it's just coming back another year under Coach Antoine, and I think another year in the conference always helps a team. They know their opponents a little better coming into this year.
Staying with the hardwood, Coach Danny Casper is looking to improve his, I think it was 3 or 8 wins last year.
Not very good.
He's looking to improve his inaugural first year into his second year, as Coach Casper went to Seattle on Friday and won 62-53. How about Imani Gant with 15 points? Check that, 17 points. And then DJ Brown, if you don't know the name, start to know it, 15 points. And then only 20 points given up by Coach Casper's team in the second half. So I ask you, Ryan Marcus, a new look Coach Casper team? Or is this just a team that we're going to see melt down later on in the year as we did last time?
I think it's a new-look Casper team. You still have some leftovers like Imani Gant, like Kaven Gilder-Tilbury. But at the same time, you look at that.
Look at the names we lost. Joel Wright.
I think that'll be beneficial for this team.
Speak on it.
Joel Wright and Coach Casper butt heads a lot last season. And I just don't think that's good for a team, especially when he's your senior leader, your number one point scorer, to see that kind of interaction between the coach and the player. It doesn't set a good example for everybody else. And I don't think that was the type of player that Coach Casper wants on his team. Coach Casper harps on defense, and Joel Wright was a run-and-gun type player. Those don't usually work out pretty well.
They're going to take on Lamar this Wednesday right here at Strahan Coliseum at 7 p.m. Then we're going to have UTSA, the old I-35 rivalry, renewed right here, on the road in San Antonio. We've got Howard Payne, Texas Lutheran, University of Texas. Some dates to circle on your calendar, December 13th, and then how about this one? December 17th, if you're looking for a big grudge match, head out about 6 hours to the middle of nowhere, Nacogdoches, Texas, as Coach Casper is going to head back to SFA to take on his old counter foes. Last time they mopped the floor with us when we went to SFA.
Ed, I think that the Texas State team can win it this year. I think they really bought into what Casper is selling. And I think an interesting quote is before the Seattle game, or I believe it was after the Seattle game, Coach Casper was asked, do you think this team last year could have beat Seattle? And his answer was just no. Direct quote, no.
He said that.
I think he really is digging this team this year. He really thinks he has a grasp on his players. And
he said 14-16 wins. What are you thinking?
That's overall, not Sunbelt.
That's overall. That's everything.
That's possible. I am not going to say it's not possible, but I think it's going to be a tough road. We got to see how they start off the season and how everything goes when they get into Sunbelt Conference play, but I definitely think it's possible for this team.
Before Danny Casper, Coach Doug Dobolos, I believe, had us at 500 for back-to-back 2 years in a row. How long is the leash here with Danny Casper?
Three years?
I
like to give new coaches 3 years. It gives them time to get the players they want. It gives them time to develop the players they already have or get rid of the players that they already have and get this team buying into their system. You can't give a coach 1 year with wrong players or 2 years with still not all of his guys and expect him to flourish.
You can't. But what are the Bobcats doing right now in all their sports programs? They're building.
They're building up. Exactly.
They're trying to see progression. So, if they don't see progression in the Texas State basketball team, Coach Danny Casper is going to be finding his way a new job very soon.
But listen, if he gets five more wins this year and then improves on that the next year, there's no reason to kick him out. He may not be 500 this year, but at the same time, I definitely think it's possible that if he is doing that progression like you're talking about, there's no reason to not stick with him.
So you're telling me if he only gets 13 wins this year. First of all, let's find out how many wins he had last year. I believe, let's just hit the back button there. I believe he only went something like 8-20 or like 2-14 in the conference.
8-23, 4-14 in the conference.
So 4-14 in conference. You're telling me if he wins 13 games and he goes 13 and what is that? 16?
13, yeah.
13-16, and you have a soccer team that's one game away from the Sun Belt Championship. You got a football team that's about to be bowl eligible. You got a volleyball team that won it all last year, going to be back in the tournament and again this year. And you're going to sit there and you're going to take a four-game under 500 head coach who just had his old team go to the NCAA tournament. You're going to accept that?
I am going to accept that. And then next year, that's the real marquee year. That's year three. That's the year I'm talking about. And if they're over 500, they do well in the Sun Belt Conference, make it to the conference tournament, win a game or two, I'm still sticking with Casper. Now, if he bombs year three, then I agree it might be time to make another decision.
And just like that, the men's basketball team is off and running, so make sure you're right here this Tuesday as we take on Lamar. It should be a terrific game. Coach Casper, we're rooting for you. Hope you have a terrific season as big old football and the head coach of the football team, Big Francione had a tough loss, to say the least, on Saturday night as they went down 24-20 to the University of South Alabama Jaguars. We were sitting up here Monday morning licking at our chops for these Jaguars. What happened?
it's the same story of the Bobcats all year. And I listened to this after the Georgia Southern game when Colin and Jason were talking in the postgame show. Will the Bobcats be able to put together two halves of football? And up to this point this year, they have not. They have only played either the first half or the second half.
Hey, that the first team we played, who we played like Pine Bluff, right? Yeah, we played Arkansas Pine Bluff. 65-0. That's a complete game right there. Game number one.
You know exactly what I mean, Evan. That little smirk.
Against some real teams.
Yes,
huh?
Exactly. Against teams in our conference. And you look at this game, the first quarter, they turned the ball over three times. They had the give the ball to the Bobcats strategy, South Alabama did. And the Bobcats still, they only put up 17 points in the first half. Tyler Jones had a decent game, but they just don't put together a full game, and it's really disappointing.
You're looking at some of the statistics, excuse me, for the Bobcats. They only had 106 yards rushing. This is a team that averages over 200 yards a game, but a good job on the defensive side, only giving up a total of 384 yards of offense. They had a 406 yards of offense, 300 yards through the air, no interceptions. Tyler Jones played his heart out.
They did, but look at that number. You have 300 yards through the air and how many touchdowns?
One.
That 300 yards through the air is great, but if that's not turning into touchdowns, it's not really doing anything for your team, unfortunately. I hate to be a negative Nancy about it, but that's the truth.
And we had three turnovers in the first quarter, and the Bobcats couldn't do anything with them.
That's what I'm saying. And I said this a couple weeks ago. The Bobcats need to learn to get out ahead and put the game on cruise control, put their foot on the throat of the opponents, and just ride the game out.
Tyler Jones, 25 of 43, 300 through the air, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Look at their quarterback for the other way, 20 of 28, one interception, 182 yards through the air, and then one touchdown. He had one sack, and then Jake Howden came in and had another touchdown.
Two quarterbacks had more touchdowns than Tyler Jones and way less yards. That's my argument, is it's not doing anything.
The Bobcats, with 5-5 and 3-3 in conference, only two games remaining. We were sitting here Monday morning thinking, no problem, University of South Alabama, mark it down as a W. But now with their upcoming games, you look at it. That Georgia State game is looking a little shaky now. You look at that Arkansas State game, that could be the biggest game we've ever had,
that
Warren said.
That right now, I definitely think that's pretty true. It's a Thursday night game. We're going to be on ESPNU, bowl eligible if we win, and bowl eligible also comes with attendance, and that's why everyone needs to get to the stadium, pack Wacker Field, and that's our last home game of the year. We need to go out on a bang and then hit the road with some momentum against Georgia State and come away victorious.
That game will be right here this Thursday, as my man Ryan Marcus said, at 7 p.m. It'll be on ESPN, so come out. It's the last home game of the year for the football team this Thursday. We want to give a big shout-out to David Mayo leading the Bobcats. He will actually tied the Bobcats in total tackles with Trey McGowan. But how about 12 tackles again? Just a complete animal, and one forced fumble and one fumble recovery.
Is he going to the league?
He'll be going to the show. And just like that, we're going to take a break. But first, my man Ryan Marcus has the weather.
And the weather I do have, it is cold out there. Bobcats, 46 degrees. It's warming up a little bit from when I was outside this morning, but there's not too much to look forward to. A high of 51 degrees, and then tonight it is dropping down to 29 degrees. Wear a jacket out there, wear a beanie, wear whatever you need. Just stay warm out there, Bobcats.